Welcome to Radar Contact by Fox ATM, the podcast for the air traffic management community, bringing global ATM on your radar. You're identified.
The Radar Contact podcast is back, and for this episode, I'm live from Dublin with my guest, Clona Mimnagh, who is Safety Manager Terminal Services at AirNav Ireland, one of the latest ANSPs in Europe. Clona, welcome to Radar Contact.
Thank you, Vincent, and it's lovely to see you again.
Yes, well, we go back a long way together, back in the mid of the 2000s, where we were both at the Artas Users Group, that's where we've met for the first time. And before starting, can you just give us a brief introduction to yourself, to your career so far? What have you been going through? Why are you working for an NSP, and why are you where you are now, basically?
Sure. So I've been working in the aviation industry and operations for 25 years now. I came to it through an advertisement in the paper for the role of a flight data assistant. I was studying engineering in college at the time, and that job brought me into the air traffic control environment, working with the air traffic controllers, supporting them and providing them with the information they needed to carry out their job. While I was carrying out that role, I was studying part-time. And when I got my degree qualification, I was looking for work, and the Irish Aviation Authority, as the organisation was called at the time, happened to be recruiting engineers. So I was lucky to have got offered a role as a surveillance engineer. So I did that role for 10, 11 years, working mainly in the surveillance side, radar data processing systems, the RTAS systems, where you and I met first at the RTAS user groups, surveillance data processing, and that side of it. I also worked on the radar replacement program in Ireland and the introduction of the Advanced Surface Movements Guidance and Control System at Dublin. And it's those two projects really that probably moved me more into the safety arena. I would have worked on the safety development and safety evidence gathering for those projects. And following on from then, I moved into safety then full time. And so my current role then is Unit Safety Manager for Dublin, Shannon, Cork Terminal Units. So that's the airports and their surrounding environs within the Operations Directorate, though. So I work very much on the day-to-day application of safety.
So you basically started operational, went technical, and then to safety, right?
I did.
That's an interesting path. And now just to go a bit deeper into safety, I mean, safety has been around in ATM for 25 years in an explicit way before it was a bit more implicit. But can you remember us and our listeners, what is safety in ATM? What is the goal? What are the objectives, and how is it managed?
So is that in the context of my current role?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So in the context of my current role, it's, I suppose, you know, as a safety manager, I don't really manage, you know, people or procedures, but I manage a system which is made up of people, procedures and equipment. So I manage the practical application of the safety management system within the operations environment. So a lot of it would be the day-to-day risk management and safety assurance, safety promotion for all terminal services. There'd be a lot of focus on monitoring events and trend analysis, and then the actions we would take then. A lot of this safety management within operations involves engagement with other people. So staff engagement or people feeding into you, raising issues and raising ideas and feedback that you might have, or engagement with our airline and the airline stakeholders and the airport authorities as well. So there would be a lot of engagement with the people around in terms of gathering information, providing and seeking feedback on things, and managing the risks within our units then in that way.
I remember from some safety trainings I've gotten by SkyGuide, it was a definition that stuck with me. It was like safety is the absence of unacceptable hazards. Is it still a current definition, or do you have better ones?
Probably is. I suppose the hazard is anything that has the potential to cause harm. And they're the things we would look at. So looking at our hazards and then promulgating those on in terms of how the worst mitigated effect of those are, and then looking at the effectiveness of the mitigations that we put in. So we're always looking at the mitigations we have in place in terms of our barriers, you know, our actual competence, our procedures, our equipment mitigations, and then seeing how effective they are in terms of managing our risks. And it's all of this then that goes back into then this whole idea of the occurrence reporting. We have a very healthy occurrence reporting culture within AirNav Ireland, with huge reporting. And that's really good because you have so much information then to delve into in terms of looking at trends, either large trends or emerging trends, so that you can try to react quickly to small things as you see them coming up.
We had an episode back in the time on just culture in Skyguide, and there they had issues with the legal framework. And I don't know how the Irish legal framework is. If someone reports a mistake in an honest way, they did something, it went bad, they can report it. Are they protected somehow, or are they at risk of getting legal issues?
We have just culture in place here in AirNav Ireland. And it's very much in place. There's a framework, there's a policy, and it's very much applied.
And I guess this is important because there are mistakes that can be made by controllers or by other people that they are the only one to see. And if you don't report, you can't learn from that, right?
Of course. And, you know, the important thing is to report things, you know, whether it's seen as a big thing or a small thing. If you're asking yourself the question, but well, should I report that or not? The answer is yes, you should report it. You know, if it's nothing, the worst thing that happens is it just gets closed. If it's more important, we can look at it. And the whole idea is to close the loop, to use the reports, to use them to improve our system. It's accepted that mistakes happen. It's accepted that systems fail. It's accepted that elements of your system fail through procedures as well. But it's learning from those failures and it's learning from those mistakes to work to constantly improve.
Yeah, very important indeed. Now, in your case, you have a technical background before moving into safety. And most safety people don't start with safety. It's something you start doing operations, you start doing techniques, and at some stage you moved into safety. I don't know a lot of safety managers that do that from the very beginning. So how do you work with your operational colleagues? Because you come from different cultures, and I guess sometimes you can have different views on things.
So that's actually a really interesting one. So when I moved in to the safety role in 2013, it was a new full-time role within terminal services, and it was an equivalent role actually within our en route service at the time. So I was very conscious that I was coming to this role knowing that it was an operational role, working primarily with engineers all of the time, now to primarily working with ATCOs and station managers all of the time. And so that was something that I was very conscious of. Interestingly, the person who carried out the role in the en route centre had a background of an ATCO, and we actually got on very, very well, and we balanced each other really well. I had a manager at the time who was very supportive of the fact that it was a new role and allowing me latitude to introduce new processes and systems as part of that role. I think in any job you do, it's important to know what you don't know and know who does. So being an engineer working with air traffic controllers a lot of the time, when I ask questions, I ask them without bias or without any preconceived idea, because I've never carried out that role. So I don't really understand. So I'm asking the questions knowing this. That said, I've always found it as a real positive, because, you know, the ATCOs are very keen to tell you about the job and to explain things, and they explain things really, really well. And so I found that really useful. So I'd say overall, I've actually found it more of a positive experience than a negative experience.
Okay. We discussed that a bit in the preparation, but I think we need to discuss a bit where safety is in the organization. In some NSPs, you clearly have one technical department, one operation department, and safety comes on the side like a third department. How is it in your organization?
So in our organization, we have a director of safety, a separate directorate, and our safety management unit lives under that as part of the safety directorate. Within operations, though, and technical services, we have three safety managers. So there's a safety manager for terminal services, a safety manager for en route services, and a technical services safety manager. And those roles are very much within the day-to-day application of the safety management system, which is developed and updated through the safety management unit. So they would maintain more of an independence within the operation and technical directorates than the unit safety managers. So the unit safety manager then is dealing very much day to day with the operations side of things, the day to day risk assessment, safety promotion work, working with the team safety reps, seeking and providing feedback to issues that are raised, the management of the safety surveys and those proactive safety management pieces that we would do. So that's really how it lives. We have a close relationship then with the safety management unit because we feed information back to them then or these things have come up within operations or these things have come up with how the procedures operate. And we would work closely with them in that way. But in terms of the day-to-day safety, it would be very much within the operations and tech services directorates.
Okay, I understand that. And you mentioned day-to-day a lot in what you just say, and there are two aspects into safety. One is that day-to-day management of occurrence, management of hazards. And the other one is more on the project sides, basically running the so-called safety assessments. And how is that working? As are you well received when you go into a project and say, hey, I will doing the safety assessment for that project. I will safety manage that project. Are all the other guys saying, hey, yay, welcome on board? Or like, oh, the safety guys, they will make us slower. And you know the point. I mean, are you seen like as the people saying no to everything and making everything slow? Or are your colleagues happy to have you and manage safety?
So, yeah, you make the comment earlier, you're spoiling the party. And I'd say, no, we're actually kind of probably at the start of the party. You're right, some of the safety work probably, depending on the project, can nearly take, it's nearly more work than the project itself, to, you know, from time to time. But the way we work is that the safety piece is very much there at the start of the project. You work very closely with the project teams and you're helping them develop the safety case material for submission. Some of it is translating the project language into the safety language and gathering all of those evidence pieces for submission and ensuring that all of the evidence pieces are gathered to support a full and complete submission to the regulator. So we would work very closely with the project teams from every step of the way. You know, so the concept of operation and the project plan is developed at the same time as the safety plan. And the safety case then is developed alongside the project. Now, there's all those pieces. If it's a large project, you know, we spoke earlier during our walk around of the High Tower at Dublin and the parallel runway. They're two really big projects that we would have worked on here recently. So the submission for those were very large with follow-up evidence as the project developed. But it's tracking that, it's managing that, and it's putting it together as a complete and full safety argument. So, you know, with the intention of gaining regulatory approval within the time frame you're looking for.
And you manage those two projects in a successful way without spoiling the party.
They're in. So we did, yeah, we did. It was a lot of work, but it's, you know, it's a great sense of achievement to have been part of it and to see them both in operation now.
Yeah, I can imagine. Airnav Ireland is part of the Coupans Alliance. So this is few ANSPs from all corners of Europe. I'm not sure about the full list of members, but you are in Austria is here with Austrocontrol. Portugal is into that, which is a completely different part of Europe. And I think Croatia has an observer role. I don't know if I forgot any members.
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay. And you come together and buy one ATM system from Thales. How is the safety part of that working? Can you mutualize a part like your colleagues of Portugal have done some great safety analysis? You can take it over. You do something else that a Croatian can take over. Or do you have to replicate the safety work in each and every ANSP?
So the Coupans Alliance is something that I'm not personally involved in, but we do have an ATM specialist point of contact within Airnav, who's part of the Coupan Safety Expert Group. And part of that group is to develop a common technical acceptance safety case for the software releases for the Coupans partners. You know, we would review and comment all of the different outputs from the Coupans Alliance. The safety issues log and knowledge sharing is very active. So say, for instance, an issue that would be identified in Ireland would be shared across the Coupans partners, and any knowledge pieces that were gained across the Coupans partner are very much shared across. While we have different regulators, they're all governed under the same regulation requirements. So the safety case development would be done by each individual ANSP. but certainly with a commonality across the Qfunds partners, because we try to work to ensure that the software releases are deployed within a particular timeframe across all of the partners. And there would be a lot of knowledge sharing and support across the organizations between Qfunds as an organization and the ANSP partners of that.
Okay. And how is the work with the industry partner working? Are they happy to have different users having their own safety management, or are they contributing as well? Because when you have to certify a system, a lot of it has to do with the technicalities. So I guess Thales in that case has to provide you with a lot of evidences as well.
Common technical acceptance safety case for the technical elements of that, yeah.
Okay.
And then each ANSP then would have its own separate Qfunds safety case, particular to the unit.
Okay. So sounds like a very established and running process now.
Yeah.
So it's working easily. Good. There is something specific about Erna Violant. You are the youngest ANSP in Europe. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think you are 8 or 9 months old, because you split from the Irish Aviation Authority last year. How was that in terms of safety? Did you have to flip a coin and say, okay, safety, it can be with the ANSP or it can be with the regulator? I mean, you have safety on both sides. Did you have to decide to make a decision which side you go, or was it clear for you, you go ANSP all the way?
Well, it was very clear for me. I was already working within the operations part of the ANSP, so it probably wasn't so much a decision for me. In terms of the organisation and the split between Air Nav Ireland and the Irish Aviation Authority, I would say the biggest challenge was actually the implementation of 373, which, you know, produced wholesale changes to many of our processes and procedures. That said, the establishment of Air Nav Ireland as a standalone ANSP and a brand new ANSP, I think it's been a really good opportunity for a fresh start and a regeneration of the organisation. There's a chance to, you know, develop and implement, you know, new values, new branding. You'd see Air Nav Ireland are very active on social media now, and you know, so there's been a lot of regeneration and rejuvenating effort going in around that as a new service provider. And I think it's exciting and it's a nice fresh start for everybody working in the organization.
Oh, sounds like you had a lot of fun. And well, actually, we had to delay that podcast a bit because we wanted to record last year. And the organization were like, you know, let us have the split first. So I'm happy that it went well for you. Well, now in Ireland, you have a much clearer split between regulator and ANSP, which is something that exists, I would say, in almost all the other European countries. I think Austria still has regulator and ANSP under the same organization, but this is pretty much it. It's a relationship that is very important. If you have beef between the ANSP and the regulator, you can land into trouble and conflicts and things going much slower and more complicated than they should be. How is your relationship with your new regulator starting?
I would say our relationship with the Irish Aviation Authority is a good working relationship. There will always be some, I suppose, professional conflict because our objectives are slightly different. But we would work very well together. There's a lot of communication between the two organisations, particularly the two projects I mentioned there recently, the High Tower at Dublin Airport and the introduction of the parallel runway, which were massive projects with very tight timelines on them. So we were required to work closely together to ensure that the provision of the safety material for these was going in the right direction and we weren't veering off course in terms of what they required for oversight. So there will always be, I think, some professional differences in terms of what the regulator is looking for, because their role is oversight and our role is implementation of change management and provision of evidence to support things that the operation are looking to do. But overall, I would suggest that we would have quite a good working relationship with our regulator.
But that split happened during those two projects, right?
No, it happened after. So
okay.
The High Tower came in 2021 and the parallel runway came in August of 2022. And then the split with the Irish Aviation Authority happened in May of 2023.
Okay. And I don't want to be misleading here. You had a regulation function before. It's not like all of a sudden you have a regulator. it was just within the company, and now it's outside the company, but it's basically the same people, I assume.
It is, yeah. It is the same people. Although there's more of them, like, you know, they've had an opportunity to increase. I think because of the rate of change within the ASP, with projects, changes, things happening, there's a lot of oversight. And that's okay, you know, because that's their role. And the introduction of Regulation 373 as well, I think, generated a lot of change for both the organizations.
Well, apparently everything is running nice and easy now. Or do you have minor, as you said, professional differences?
Sometimes we do, yeah. Sometimes we do. Sometimes, you know, we feel we've provided the correct type of evidence or enough of the type of evidence for what's needed. And, you know, the regulation would suggest that we need to do something more or something differently. And sometimes that can be, you know, a little frustrating. But at the end of the day, you know, we're looking for approval on things. And if that's what they need and if that's what's required, then that's just what we do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more focus on compliance as well within our organization. We have new compliance monitoring managers, and we also have compliance managers as well within our operations directorates, and that's all feeding into the compliance with all of the different regulations under which we're governed by, so that we can improve.
We discussed that a bit during the tour you were nice enough to give me before. So we went through the ACC, we went in the tower. And one thing surprised me a lot here. I'm first time in Airnav Ireland. Everybody knows everybody else by their first name. And it's definitely a matter of the size of the organization. But I think it's also an important part of the culture. Your colleagues, non-ATCOs, can go to the ACC, can go to the tower, can have a look, can get an understanding, which is not a given in larger ANSPs. It can be culture, it can be organization, but I guess that makes your day work easier to be that close to operations, is it?
Definitely. I think you're right. It's probably, you know, it's not a huge organization. So we are in the lucky position where you do tend to get to know everybody. I mentioned before, it's important to understand how much you don't know. It's also important to know who does. And if you know people on first name basis, if you meet people on the corridor and say hello, you know, that just makes things a whole lot easier. It makes things a whole lot easier to find out who can help you or who can provide information to you or who you can seek feedback from. We tend not to operate in a particularly hierarchical structure like anybody could, you know, call in. We generally operate open door office policies as well. So I think that's a really good thing actually about the unit here.
Yes, it is.
The organization in general.
And I think larger ANSPs could get inspired by that, even if you have different challenges when you are 6,000 plus. But obviously, that's a really nice thing. And we've seen that in a lot of projects, having ATCOs involved in the project from the very beginning and close to the project is definitely a key of success. You don't have someone on one side doing developments, delivering that and handing over to operation people and this is it.
Yeah, the positives are exactly as you outlined, you know, who everybody is. The negatives are it tends to be a very small team, so we can be very, very busy and the workload can be very high in that way. But overall, I think it's definitely a positive.
Well, everything has its price, I guess, somehow. And now to move on a more personal level, I don't know the gender equality and the gender numbers of Airnav Ireland, but I can imagine engineering units are mostly dominated by male colleagues. How is it for you and how was it for you so far to be in the organization, be part of the organization as a woman?
So it's interesting that you asked that because that's something that's quite important to me. So, you know, throughout my career, I think I've always been one of few and often the only female at the meeting sometimes. But I think that's not just particular to Airnav Ireland. I think that's particular to the industry as a whole. Or to any industries, actually, technical industries tend to be struggling to recruit females. In Airnav Ireland, we have recently set up a women's network, which I currently chair. And one of the focuses of that network is actually to encourage more females to apply for roles within our organisation. But so to that end, we would visit schools and aimed at children in our transition year or fifth year coming up to the end of school year to keep the STEM subjects and the science technology subjects up and to advertise the roles of an air traffic controller or the roles of an engineer within our organization and show what good careers they can be. Because I think once you're in the organization, I don't think gender is particularly an issue in terms of your progression. Our senior management teams are 50-50 male, female. The issue or the gender balance issue that we tend to see is more within the engineering and ATCO grades. And that's something that we're focusing quite heavily on to try to improve that.
If you had one single advice to give to a young lady considering applying for a job in ATM, whatever, technical, operational management, what would that be?
Go for it. It's a great job. It's a really interesting career. It's a really interesting industry, and absolutely go for it.
Nice. Great, great to hear that. And I completely second what you just said. Now to finish with a new signature question. You know, for 3 seasons, we ask people their view on 5 and 50 years. We move away from that now and make something a bit different. If you could ask whatever question you'd like to anybody in the ATM industry, who would be that person and what would be the question?
Vincent, I find that a really hard one to think about.
Sorry.
Because most of the people in the ATM industry who I might have a question for, I'm sure I'd find a way of contacting them to ask that question. So, but when I was thinking about this more, it's not really a question I have. It would be more, I'd like to see a picture or a vision. So we're looking at an exponential increase in drone operations across the ATM industry. We're seeing drones delivering medical supplies and coffee and all of these types of things and all of these new organizations getting involved in that. So I'd like to look into the future and see how does that integrate with ATM and ATC, or does it, and what that's going to look like in a few years' time. Because that's the bit that I'm finding hard to piece together right now.
That's an interesting question indeed. And maybe we'll have someone on the podcast soon that can take it and reply to that. So, Fiona, thank you very much for your time today, for being on the podcast, for the visit. And I'm very looking forward to meet you again soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vincent.
Thank you for listening to Radar Contact. Visit foxatm.com or your favorite podcast platform for more episodes. Feel free to let us know if you or someone you know would like to share a topic with the air traffic management community. Frequency change is approved.